Hello and welcome to this edition of DEcast. My name is Rob Bagby. I'm a developer evangelist for Microsoft Corporation. And this is one of a few screencasts I'm doing that illustrates how to implement some of the various modeling scenarios available to you in the Entity Framework. Specifically in this screencast, we're going to be talking about how to model action stored procedures into your Entity Data Model. And we're doing that to help you feel more comfortable with the Entity Framework from a security perspective. So I'm going to walk through first just building out an entity and see what the default behavior is for kind of the actions of insert, update, and delete. Then we'll talk about any concerns you may see there and then how we can address those concerns. So I'm over here in SQL Server and I've chosen a very simple table. It's a person table that has four columns that are required. Person ID, this is an identity column. We'll be illustrating how we can handle that. The server itself is in charge of generating the IDs when I do an insert. Got a first name and a last name and a person category. So we're going to go ahead and build an entity data model with just one entity. It's going to be a person entity and it's going to be mapped down to this table. And then we'll go ahead and do some actions against it. So I'm going to right click, choose add new item. And I'm over in my friend Visual Studio. I'm going to choose school. We'll call it school. And we're going to generate it from the database, and I'm going to map it, or I'm going to choose my school data connection. Incidentally, if you want to download the sample database I built, you can find that on my blog at robbagby.com. On the right-hand side near the bottom, you'll see a listing of sample databases. I'm choosing my person table, and the designer's going to go ahead and just build a person entity for me. So let's go ahead and grab that person entity. Here we are. You can see it's got all of the properties for each of the columns that we saw in our person table. Now I can go over here and rename the entity set name to people. It's the plural. So it's always good to get that done first. Rename your entity and your entity set name appropriately. And now we're ready to interact with this entity, and all of the actions are going to get taken care of for us through the entity framework. And so I can do inserts, updates, deletes, etc. Let's go ahead and see what that looks like, and we'll take a look at what the default behavior is of that. So let me just write a little bit of code. Let's just create a new person. And let's use an object initializer, and we'll say the first name equals, let's just insert me. And we'll say person category equals 1. That's a student, and that's cool. I'm a student of life. Now let's go ahead and do an insert. So we'll say school.addToPeople, and we'll add my person. And let's just call save changes. And so now when I run this, we will actually be doing an insert into the database. And let's just do a console.writeline complete. And we'll do a console.readline. Just so we can see that it all worked. Now, I don't want you to have to trust me on how on what's going to happen by default. So let's use our friend SQL Profiler to create a new trace. So I'm just going to point at the database, and we'll just call it trace. Let's just call it trace entity framework. So now we've got our little trace running, and let's run our code. So we ran it up. And you can see it, the action was completed. And if I go back to SQL Profiler, we can actually see here what occurred. So you can see that we're just executing this dynamic SQL that got generated. And so we're doing insert into person, first name, last name, and all of the appropriate columns. And then the values list, which is, here's kind of the cool part. We've got all these parameters. So this dynamic SQL that was generated by the Entity Framework was parameterized. So one of the first concerns that people have when they hear or see that we're generating SQL dynamically is the susceptibility to SQL injection attack. But dynamic SQL, or SQL that's dynamically generated, can be protected from SQL injection attacks by simply parameterizing them. And as you see from this trace, we've done just that. So that security concern from the Entity Framework has been addressed. Now, that's not to say that there are not other concerns that you may have. one of the other issues that, you know, a lot of DBAs have with dynamically generated SQL is that you have to essentially set permissions on the underlying table. So in order to do this insert, we've got to add that specific permission for the user that this that the code's running under to that underlying table. And that's a big concern, because a lot of times you want to use a stored procedure to really just limit what that specific user can do. And so you can make sure that they're only able to delete records that are their own, or insert specific things, or update only records that are associated with them. You can use stored procedures to kind of limit the damage, if you will, that a specific user can inflict on you. Because for stored procedures, all you have to do is grant execute permissions on that stored procedure, and you don't have to grant any permissions on the underlying tables. So that's the concern we want to essentially address in this screencast, is how can we map stored procedures in so that our user only has the permissions to run those stored procedures and doesn't have any permissions on the underlying tables. So let's do that. I'm going to jump back over to SQL Server, and I've already written a bunch of stored procedures. So I've got an add person, which we're just inserting into the appropriate columns. So inserting into those columns the parameters that we've passed in. And then at the very end, I'm selecting scope identity as ID. And we're going to use this ID. I mentioned earlier the person ID is getting dynamically generated by SQL Server, because it's an identity column. And this is how we're going to return the record's new ID back, and how we can get our entity to reflect that new ID. The other stored procedures we have, the update person, is pretty simple. We're just updating the appropriate columns where the person ID is, it matches the parameter that was passed in. And then delete, we'll just delete a record given the person ID matches the parameter passed in. So with that, I can go back to my friend SQL Server and go back to our model. And inside of here, I can go back to my model browser, and I can right-click and choose Update Model from Database. And as we do, I'm going to go ahead and add in those stored procedures. So I'm going to add in my add person, my delete, and my update person. And so those are now available to me inside of the model. What I can do now is I can right-click on my entity and choose Stored Procedure Mapping. Otherwise, if I had just been in a regular mapping, I can click on right down here, Map Entities to Functions. You can see that down here we've got select insert function, select update function, and select delete function. It's unfortunately we put the keyword select in there. But you're just choosing, let's map a stored procedure to when we're going to do an insert. So I'm going to choose SP add person. Now, because all of the properties on my entity line up with the parameter names, the designer was able to pre-fill all of this for me. If they weren't lined up, we can go ahead and choose them from the drop-down list over here. The other thing we have to do is to map in our result column bindings. Remembering our stored procedure is returning that person ID that gets generated because that person ID is an identity column, and we're returning it as an ID. I can just map that into the person ID property. And so when we do the insert, the person ID in my entity is then going to be reflected back with the appropriate identifier. So we're all done. All I have to do is just map in my for my update. I'll map in the SP update person, and all of the properties are lined up appropriately. And then we'll do the same thing with my delete. It's that easy for me to have mapped in all of those three stored procedures you saw me you saw that I had written in stored procedure in SQL Server to map those into my entity. Now we can run our code again, the exact same code without making any changes. We can run this up again. You can see that it just fired, and we can go back and look at our trace that's running, and we can see, let's see here. You can see that we just ran our SP add person as opposed to generating that dynamic SQL. Without doing anything from the code level at all, we've automatically mapped in the stored procedures to get called when we're calling those actions. And so makes it very easy for us to build these entities that are calling in the appropriate stored procedures that have the appropriate permissions granted, execute permissions granted to them. And now we can hand this entity data model out to varying developers and not worrying about how they're trying to interact with the database. Makes it very easy for us to run a very secure as well as easy to use model. So I hope this screencast has been helpful for you, and you can go out to my blog, robbagby.com, to find some more on this subject. Thank you very much.